opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring Podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring Podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So when you were gone, Inspector joined the show.
Oh God!
Right behind you,
guys,
your back shoulder.
Desperate.
Well, we did our 4th of July draft.
Your 4th of July what?
Draft. Anything 4th of July.
What did he take? A moose boosh, salmon slacks, and loafers with no sock.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring Podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring Podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like, was that his 4th of July?
One was Ray Charles because of the song. That was one of his picks. Max was Lake Family and Friends.
Max a dork.
Yeah, I mean,
booze, fireworks, and sex. That's 4th of July.
Not everybody gets laid on the 4th of July. I think mine was what? Swimming pools, barbecue,
fireworks
and something else.
He's doing that by himself.
Yeah.
He doesn't have any family or friends with
North
him.
Dakota, yeah. South Dakota, sex.
Nixon 5.
I just want to win, Jim.
Nebraska too.
Yeah, no, but he heard that song coming back and he goes, I know we're not supposed to have music, but that one you can get rid of. I was like, well, then get us our music back.
Wait, you can get rid of that one?
That beat.
He didn't like that one?
He didn't like the beat.
Tech Booty, bro? Come on.
That's what it's called.
It's called Tech Booty?
Tech Booty.
Yeah. North Dakota.
Yeah, that's right. North Dakota, y'all. Yeah, Tech Booty.
Actually, Tech Nine's alias.
Tech Booty.
K-C-Mo.
He had
Booty.
He had salmon shorts. Yep. A sweater tied around his neck.
Yep.
And a yacht. That was his 4th of July.
Sounds like my outfit on Thursday night. Because I just found out I'm going to an event Thursday, and the theme of the outfit is summer chic.
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 Summer chic. Summer cheek.
That's what he said to me first. He goes, what does summer chick mean?
Dude, I've never seen this before. So I don't know. Summer chic. Bob's like, summer, you know, chic. Typical, like, don't overthink it. It's shorts and a shirt.
Yeah. Yeah. Have a button down, like, linen shirt and a pair of bird
dogs.
That's
perfect. Yeah, yeah, that's
okay.
It.
Okay. Summer
maybe
chic.
Like a, yeah, like watch.
Okay.
Bring out the nice ice.
Yeah. I wouldn't do that. You know.
See? No. I'm so lost.
Can
I go to H&M and find a perfect summer chic outfit?
Yeah. Yeah. But the problem with H&M is they make you feel fat when you go in there.
It's humbling.
It very much is. Like a large at H&M is like a small everywhere else. Have you ever tried Express? Have you been to that store?
Yeah. I don't know where they are in Lee Summit, though.
I don't know. I have no idea if they even are in storefronts
anymore. I don't have time to order online.
I mean, no, it's small there. Medium there is like a tiny. It's a kid's size. Terrible.
Yeah, I just.
Yeah, you're either getting linen, very flowy shorts, or you're getting like suits.
You mentioned spec. Like, I feel like I have to have like a pair of loafers, but no socks with summer
sheet. No, your feet will stink. Get a pair of like Sperry's or something like that. And call
Speaking
it a day.
Of stink, those things will rot your entire house out.
Yeah, they will. Yep.
We've all been to college. We all wore Sperry's. We were lazy. We didn't wear socks. So then you take them off and it'd be like, what's that smell?
Yeah, it's your feet, dude. So you got to buy like the invisible socks. That are hidden. I wear those all the time now.
Those are popular on the golf course.
Are they?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Golly, summer chic.
Yeah. So, yeah, just dress like this tennis player right now, all white linen.
There you go.
You'd be fine. That the guy playing at Wimbledon.
Mm-hmm.
That's summer chic right there.
Yeah. So I guess that'll be the situation. Somebody says, Aussie says, go to Kohl's. They'll get you right.
They will. Yeah, honestly, they had a big sale this week.
I'm going to show up looking like Kirk Cousins.
Look, I'll say this. Prime starts tomorrow, right? Prime Day starts tomorrow.
July 8th through the 11th.
Right? So everybody,
baseball cards.
Everybody's having sales. It's not just on Amazon, right? Mm. Everybody's running those sales. Now is the time you can take advantage and get like a Blackstone or something.
Right?
Well, everybody does them now, you know? Mm. You know? So like Kohl's is having their Kohl's Day sale, and I saw whoever else was having a sale, you know, coming up this week.
Because it's back to school.
Prime. So everybody's, you know, everybody's kind of cashing in. They know everybody's going to be online shopping. So all the other outlets are smart. They're all taking advantage. I'm sure Walmart's having a, you know, a Walmart Day sale or something of that nature. So you got to look at all that kind of stuff and see, you know, what potentially could be out there.
Okay. All right. Well, it's not summer chic, but he's got a new look. And that is one Patrick Mahomes, as he was with Kay Adams today. He had this to say about what he thinks about the naysayers of the Kansas City Chiefs.
I've had to sit back and just listen to people talk, and I'm like, let's just play football and just handle it all out there.
For those of you that are hard of hearing in the back,
I've had to sit back and just listen to people talk, and I'm like, let's just play football and just handle it all out there.
You don't get that a lot from Patrick, to be fair. No. Not that I'm like good friends with him. So you don't get that a lot from Mahomes. The two things stick out. One, we always see the meme of him on Ryan's face from The Office writing the notes down, right?
Yeah, it's the best.
He's doing that.
100%.
And two, it's clearly evident that he still has a very, very bad sour taste in his mouth from New Orleans. And it's not the Creole. It's the ass-kicking the Eagles gave the Chiefs.
That was an ass-kicking. There's 100%. No other way to describe that.
Yeah,
it's 100% that. Yeah. And now we're getting all this, oh, are the Chiefs still good? Are the Chiefs going to be all right? Is Mahomes still a good quarterback? He's like the top five. When 2 years ago, it was like nobody was having a debate of who the best quarterback was in football. And now he's sitting here with Kay Adams going, you know, we see people talk. Let's just play football.
What if they would have won that game? What would the conversation have been like this offseason about the Chiefs, right? It would have been all about the dynasty. And is this the greatest dynasty of all time? Because it would have been the first three-peat. That's what all the talk would have been about. Can they do it for a fourth time in a row? Mm-hmm. Had they won that Super Bowl, I guarantee you everybody would be looking at the Chiefs going, they're going to win four in a row. There's nothing stopping this team. They lost that game. They had a bad day, a really bad, no good, very bad day, right? It was an awful performance in that Super Bowl. So bad, we were gone by halftime, figuratively speaking, right?
I was very much alive at halftime watching people dance.
Yeah, that guy dancing next to us with the, that was fun. But after that, we all knew, okay, this is over fast.
You and I, it was the Hopkins drop. That's when you closed the notebook, looked at me and said, you think? And I said, duh.
Yeah, I mean, I'll go back to my notes about that Super Bowl. And I think I don't think I wrote anything down after halftime, Dusty. No. I mean, honest to God, I don't think I wrote one thing down after halftime in that game. And so there was no reason to, because that thing was absolutely over. It was done. Yeah, I wrote third quarter, nothing. Yeah. You can see it on the screen. Nothing.
What was the last thing you wrote?
24-0 Philadelphia. A.J. Brown, 11-yard touchdown. 1:35 to go before halftime. And then I wrote third quarter, and then I was going to
doodle.
Yeah, I mean, we were wandering the concourses spilling coffee and, you know, getting yelled at by certain reporters and whatnot for being in the wrong place. And so, third quarter, absolutely nothing. So, yeah, that was an ass kicking. But had they won that Super Bowl, everybody would be talking about them going for a four-peat, and that's all we would hear. So one 60-minute frame of football has changed everybody's thinking about who Patrick Mahomes is and what this Chiefs team is all about, because they didn't play a good game in the Super Bowl. There are teams that play bad games throughout the course of the season. They played their bad game at the worst possible time, but it doesn't change who they are as an organization or what they want to accomplish. They got their ass kicked. Every year that Andy Reid's been here, they've gotten their ass kicked at least one time. This one just happened to be in the Super Bowl.
I mean, we saw what happened after the Bucks Super Bowl.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Every time they get their ass kicked, what do? They got their ass kicked in Tennessee one year, and they didn't lose a game the rest of the season.
Exactly, yep. I was at that game.
And they went to the Super Bowl.
Because was it after the Bucks Super Bowl they lost to the Bengals in the AFC Championship game, and then it was, well, here we go?
Yeah.
Because after the Bucks Super Bowl, they revamped the offensive line. After the lost AFC Championship game, they revamped the defense.
Right, and
then
got rid of Tyreek.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And here we sit. Yeah, and after that game where Tyreek allegedly was, you know, part of a problem, they got rid of him, they moved on, and they went to three straight Super Bowls. I mean, like, we're not talking about a dead fish here that's flopping around for life. We're talking about a team who picked a bad time to have a bad day, but they also had diarrhea. They also had the poops. And, you know, if you ever have to go and you're on a road trip or wherever it is and you can't go and it's bad and it's coming out both ends and you're sick, you ain't going to be your best. And I'm not trying to make excuses, but that's the reality of the situation here. They had the bubble guts. They were sick. They got sick at the worst time. The Eagles were getting over the illness. That illness kicked in for the Chiefs that morning. And I know that for a fact.
Coming up on the other side, Vern had something to say about the Royals and what they could do at the deadline. Plus, there's some snubs that happened in the All-Star game that happened in our backyard here in Kansas City. That's Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, Dusty Likens. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty, subscribe and watch the show on YouTube by going to our channel at The Fan 96.5, Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
What a fast Monday. We're almost done, fellas. Got a huge meeting to go to. Don't you love that, coming back from the holidays? Hey. Nah, it'll be fun. Ray Charles. Can't get over that.
I still don't understand how Ray Charles reminds Steven Spector of July 4th.
But when I wait a minute. Because you had to play that one. It was fun. We were watching the Legacy Blast on Thursday night for my buddy's driveway. And they have... on a certain radio station, they have the show tuned in to the fireworks.
Oh, yeah, right.
And we just started doing bets. I was like, all
what's
right.
What's the next song?
I was like, when does Katy Perry firework come on? And I mean, right when I said it, it was like,
when did Lee Greenwood come on?
Oh, that was the finale.
Oh, that was the grand finale.
Oh, yeah. Toby Keith came on.
We'll put a boot in your ass. It's the American way.
You better believe it. All right.
Hey, Uncle Sam.
He put your name at the top of the list.
Statue of Liberty was shaking its fist. Don't mess with America, man.
And but that was fun. That was great. The Legacy Blast was good. It was
hello, America.
Oh Lord. Strawberry pie.
Hello, America.
Uh-oh. Mac, NBA trade.
Oh, we got another one. We got LeBron get traded to Cleveland. I heard he was working out at their facility. People were bent.
Bob, you know these guys really well. The Clippers, Jazz, and Heat have agreed to a trade that sends Norman Powell to Miami, Colin's son, John Collins to Los Angeles.
Tom's kid.
And can you believe this? Kevin Love and Kyle Anderson and a 2027 Clippers second round pick to the Jazz.
I'm more surprised at Kevin Love is still part of the league.
Believe it. Shout out UCLA, baby.
That's huge for the Lakers. Needed a big guy.
They got DeAndre Ayton.
Who'd they get?
Did they officially get DeAndre Ayton?
I thought so.
They got Norman Powell.
Norm from Cheers. Came back to life to play for the Lakers.
That's their answer?
Yeah, DeAndre Ayton is not an answer. A guy who's been cut from two teams. Yeah, he's been paid to leave from two teams because he can't effort.
How do you get
that
job?
DeAndre Ayton.
They're going to pay you to leave? Where do I sign up?
Official, yeah. I didn't see that over the weekend. Yeah. So, yeah, they've got two big guys. That's good. They got two guys who can play down low. So, there you go.
The Lakers do now.
John Collins and DeAndre Ayton.
Is this going to be the – I know Wimbledon's on, so Stephen's not going to scream at us today, but Stephen A., that is not Spector. So, is this the week where we go, are the Lakers now the number one team to beat in the West? Is that the topic now?
It'll always
happen. Who is more disappointed with the news, DeAndre Ayton to the Lakers or Knicks get Mike Brown?
Oh, God.
Because I knew you were on vacation, so I didn't want to bother you with, like, information, but it was like the weekend after you're, like, getting ready to wrap things up.
I was pissed. I'm not going to lie.
Mike Brown.
Like, I'll be honest with you. The Knicks going on this run, I've talked about this, kind of has me reminiscent of being a kid again, because that's the last time they were good, when I was a kid, when OJ was driving around, right? Like,
well, got you back in the NBA. You opened the blinds.
Right. That's
you
opened
the window and the curtains.
Yeah, because the Knicks make a difference for the sport. Like, there's talk now they're going to be the first game on NBC when NBC comes, as they should.
They should be, yeah.
And Marv should be there. Like, it should be a big production. Tess should be performing the song on center court as the game starts, right?
Tech booty.
Tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Get John Tesh out there. Start playing the damn song. Have Marv Albert. Knicks
I love
are there.
It.
Like,
yes.
Make it as retro as you possibly can.
You
That's my idea. Anyway, so they got me back. Childhood back into the NBA, watching it and whatnot.
And now they got you back away from it.
And now they got me away from it again.
And
I know I texted it to you guys. There's been in sports, I don't know that there's been a more uninspiring hire in the history of professional sports than Mike Brown being hired as the coach of the Knicks. And then I saw somebody go, this is just what the Knicks need. Who's paying you to say that, you loser? Mike Brown is, nobody has ever once said, Mike Brown is the guy we need. Mike Brown is the guy you get because there's nobody else.
John Collins is going to the Clippers.
The Clippers, Jazz, and he, well, then.
Imagine being named after something that clips fingernails. Yeah. You don't call them. You just call them Clippers, right?
Yeah.
Also,
this is a nothing trade.
Yeah.
Of course it is. These are good Most players. Most of these NBA trades are nothing.
Welcome to July 7th.
Well, these players are good. Just none of these teams. These are teams that are trying to make noise. Like,
but noise how? Just by shattering salary?
Like, Norman Powell's a good player. Like, I don't know what they're going to do with him. And that's a 20-plus point per game score. That's a really good shooting guard. And he's going to just be lost in Miami. Like, I don't know what they're doing.
Maybe they're going to use him as a piece to trade for somebody else. Maybe they're setting up a bigger piece of the puzzle. I don't know.
Maybe he's there to give Tyler Hero a history lesson.
Yeah, exactly.
What did he say?
He said that there's no history before 1950.
That's right, before 1950. That's right, yeah. And there was like his father was born before 1950 or something like that. Yeah.
I mean,
so good.
Idiots.
Pat Riley is born before 1950.
Yeah. That's right. Pat Riley was before.
Like, hit your ball. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Idiot. That's just a stupid idiot. Like, don't say dumb things. What the hell was that?
Do you think John Collins has ever had a Tom Collins?
Yes. Okay. His dad. Yeah. I've never had a Tom
Does he
Collins.
Know Kerry Collins?
He does.
Great arm.
Very good quarterback.
Out of Penn State.
Oh, yeah.
Very good quarterback.
Sharon Collins.
Mm-hmm. How many Collins? Love Sharon Collins.
Duh, still do. Oak Heck Park National or state champions last year.
Good for him.
Kerry Collins, Tom Collins. What is a Tom Collins? Is that a bourbon?
I think.
Or is it a gin?
I'm going to say, and I'm going to be wrong, I'm sure.
It's a gin.
I'm sure there's some kind of sweet and sour mix in it, which has probably caused me to say no.
Oh, yeah, because the heartburn.
Yes.
Yeah.
Gin,
yeah.
It is? What else is in it?
Tom and Collins?
Gin, lemon juice.
Oof. There's your sour.
Sugar and carbonated water.
So it's like a gin lemon drop.
Oh, God.
Give me a Vesper and we're all right. That's the James Bond drink. Someone real quick from the 816. Can you guys wish Amelia a happy 4th birthday? So happy birthday, Amelia.
Woo!
It'd be cool if your 4th was on the 4th.
That would be awesome.
Born
but her
7th
will be on the 7th.
There you go.
Nice.
It's her golden birthday, right?
We're a month from my birthday.
Oh, wow.
Here we go.
Yeah, the big 3-8.
Heck yeah.
38. Yeah, getting old, man. Sneeze, throwing muscles out. Having to use a massage gun on the 4th of July night because you were throwing fireworks.
38 was a good year. For me, the Royals won the World Series.
Yeah, 10 years ago. Former Chiefs quarterback Todd Collins. Oh, man.
Good
here
stories
we go.
About that guy.
Phil Collins. Yeah. What do we do? We got Collins, man.
Bootsy Collins.
There you go. Keep bringing in your Collins. We had Vern on the show earlier, and we talked about what looking forward means you did and churning the talent.
The battle right now for Sherman is I don't want to tell my fans for the final 3 months that we're done. And if we
Sorry, Tim Collins, the former Royals pitcher.
Tim Collins, yeah.
Proceed, Vern.
Move Seth Lugo right now. That's basically what we're telling him. But I also know that we need to move Seth Lugo because hanging on to him and losing him for nothing this offseason just isn't sound business. So as we sit here on the 7th of July, still 3 weeks to go, 4 weeks to go into the trade deadline. Right now, if I'm John, I'm hesitant. But as we get closer, I'll ultimately, I would imagine, capitulate and allow him to move Seth Lugo. So, focused on the long-term future in that you always need to be He said it at his press conference when he introduced J.J. Piccolo. We always need to be churning talent, right? Taking care of our own, but guys that are on their way out, don't let them walk for nothing. We move Brady Singer, and you're, you know, either going to have to re-sign Chris Bubich or move him this offseason. Seth Lugo prior to that, before the trade deadline.
So that's, I think, the Lugo issue is that, yes, you would lose a good arm in your rotation, but the tough question you have to ask in the mirror is, are we a World Series team? If you were, there's no reason to lose Lugo.
Right.
But if you're not, and you don't know you're going to be there, and you want to get some sort of piece that could maybe get you in that conversation next year, which, again, I don't think the season's over. I think it's bleak. I don't think it's, you know, where we were a month ago. But if you're not going to get anything for somebody and just let them walk and you don't accomplish anything, then it's a loss. But if you do and you have the capability of moving a guy like Seth Lugo for a piece that can be, I don't know, somewhat valuable to your team the rest of this year, or maybe kind of make one of those moves that kind of wakes the team up even more and be like, hey, we're not selling. Even though we're selling this guy, it doesn't mean we're done.
Right.
We didn't get this far to get this far. Then maybe that can be a positive as well. But I am with Vern. Like, I don't want to get to the point where you had something that maybe you've gotten. Like, again, Aroldis Chapman, that team was terrible. You got Cole Reagans out of it. And at the time, nobody knew who Cole Reagans was.
Right.
So you put that on the backside and be like, well, what are you going to get for Lugo? Well, what did anybody think you were going to get for Aroldis Chapman? You got Cole Reagans. Everyone called him Raggins, didn't know who he was. And now all of a sudden, I know he's hurt this year, but he's the ace of your staff.
Yeah.
And you found that with a trade of a team that was selling. Now, they were obvious sellers that year, but there are options here with Seth Lugo that benefit, I think, more than hurt your team.
I think by selling Seth Lugo, that does not mean you're giving up, in my opinion, at all. That means you're a smart baseball organization. Flaherty last year with Detroit was traded, and they turned it around.
But to be fair, they were hitting.
They were, absolutely. But I'm not saying the trade, like, if you trade Lugo now, you're going to turn things around and win this year. But if you don't trade Lugo this year and you end up where you are, which is below 500 and out of the playoffs, and then he walks after the season, you've got nothing to show for them. And that's where I think organizations, especially in baseball, make their biggest mistakes, believing that there's something when they're not. And this is not a playoff team, right? They can sit here and try to tell us they wanted to be a playoff team and they should have been a playoff team. But right now, they're not a playoff team. And that's the way that you have to view this thing. There are so many teams ahead of you in the wild card standings that you need to pass just to have an opportunity to be part of this party. You should not let Seth Lugo, whose contract is, if his contract wasn't expiring, we probably are not having this conversation. That cat's contract is expiring at the end of this season. The worst thing you can do is have him hang around pitching meaningless baseball in August and September when you could have flipped him to get some pieces back for your organization. And who can they get for him? That's not my job to figure out. JJ makes the money, not me.
Good money, too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, that people always say, who are they going to get back? I don't know, but they've got guys. They had people that were in on Cole Reagans long before we knew who Cole Reagans was, then signed Aroldis Chapman in the offseason, knowing that they were going to trade him and get something back to make their minor league system better and, in turn, make their big league ball club better. I think that's what you need to do with Seth Lugo right now.
If you missed Vern earlier, you can check it out on the podcast page. He was on at 8:20. He said this about selling for long-term promise of the organization.
Obviously, I'm concerned about the long-term health of this organization, but, you know, we have, what, 71 games to go? More than half of those at Kauffman Stadium down the stretch? And I'm all for making smart moves, right? Moving a Michael Lorenzen, a Mark Canna, if somebody calls, a Seth Lugo. Expiring contracts, to me, that doesn't necessarily reflect a team that's waving the white flag. That's not true selling, moving Lugo, Lorenzen, Canna, in my opinion. But if I'm John Sherman, I think what I'm telling J.J. Piccolo is, yeah, you can move Seth Lugo as long as you can prove to me that it's not a white flag. And right now, to me, it is. It is a white flag, or at least if I'm JJ, I don't know if I can make a case to John Sherman that it's not a white flag, because I don't know who takes his spot in the rotation.
Yeah, so, I differ from Vert on that one, yeah. And that's fine. I mean, that's what baseball is. Great. You think I should trade. I think I shouldn't trade, or however the case may be.
It makes good radio.
It makes, yeah.
Let's just all agree and see how the ratings turn out.
Yeah, no, I just don't think, like, right now trading Lugo is one of those moves. Again, if it's Bubich and you got a year afterwards on your contract and you trade him now, I would say, yeah, that's probably waving the white flag, not just on this year, but potentially on the future as well with Chris Bubich. Seth Lugo is a 35-year-old expiring contract. He's never going to be hotter. He's never going to be worth more to you as the Royals organization than he is right now. You look at the Royals minor league system. They've literally brought up everybody that they possibly can at this point in time. It's not a strong part of their team right now. You have an opportunity to replenish that minor league system by trading Seth Lugo and getting some young players that could be part of your system in the future. That's the way baseball works at its best, in my opinion. You get into a situation, it's not going the way you want. You don't hold on to players to placate your fans. Fans aren't stupid. They're not going to the ballpark to watch Seth Lugo play. They're just not, right? So it's okay to part ways with a guy like that who could help you long term. That's the way that I would operate if I were the Kansas City Royals. Again, I'm not. But that's how I would be. I'd be like, okay, Seth Lugo is one of these pieces. It's not Vinny Pasquantino or Bobby or Salvi or even Kyle Isbell, which, by the way, are we going to give that guy enough credit? I mean, what a hell of a baseball player he is. I mean, he's just a really damn good baseball player, right? That's waving the white flag. Trading a guy like that, that's a big piece of what you're trying to do. Seth Lugo, to me, is not part of your future at all, and he clearly isn't part of your present right now. So that's why I would trade him.
Last year, Jack Flaherty was traded. This year, he has a 4.84 ERA and a 1-2 whip. So maybe Detroit saw something as well.
Sure.
Moving that piece. I mean, look, I'm on kind of both sides of the fence when it comes to, like, Vern's commentary and yours, because I'm with you. I don't think moving Lugo is like, well, that's it. They're officially sellers. Now, it all, I think, depends on what this team believes they actually are.
Mm-hmm.
Because eventually, you know, you can tell yourself, like, No, I'm not still in love with her. Well, then how come once every time we hang out, you bring up your ex? It's like, okay, well then have the reality that you are over it. And if, you know, if that is the case, then the Royals should know where their season is going to go by the end of this week. Yeah. And I think 5-1 has to be done on this road trip. I don't know. Maybe that's a little harsh. 4-2. 'Cause that's what Vern told us. If you go 4-2 in this home trip, that means you won both series. You'd still be probably somewhere around the line of 5 games out. Then during the off time and during the All-Star break, then you kind of decide to yourself, okay, how can we stay in a positive way and still gain by addition by subtraction? Because that's what Lugo's going to be. It should be looked at as an addition by subtraction.
Yes.
When you release a guy, but yet, you know, who fills that void? You would then come back with Cole Reagans, Noah Cameron, Michael Wacha, maybe Lorenzen still, and Chris Bubich.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you come back from the All-Star game, you could reset your whole rotation. You could be like, hey, we're going to go Bubich. Reagan's had time to be off. I know that's, you know, your two most, and then Noah Cameron.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's okay.
It's a hell of a threesome.
And if you can bring somebody in that can actually hit and play in the outfield, then you've added a piece by subtracting a piece of your rotation, mm-hmm. but you're also adding Cole Reagans back to your lineup. So we'll see if that actually works out. I know people are sick in the face and blue in the face saying, how is this season still going? 71 games left. I know that doesn't sound like a lot, but again, you got a lot of teams you got to jump, but a lot of teams are also fizzling out as well.
Right, Minnesota,
Cleveland, they're in your division. They're fizzling out, right? You've got to take advantage of that when you play them. And maybe by doing that, you've added something. And maybe by doing that, that rocks the foundation to be like, hey, they're moving guys. Either they're going to stop moving guys, or if they continue to move guys, that means we're not moving in the standings right direction.
And it sends a message too. I think if a guy like Lugo gets traded, what does the rest of that locker room feel like? That wasn't supposed to be the case this year. We told everybody we were going to be a playoff team. And now arguably our best pitcher has just been traded. That's got to be personal, I would think, for the rest of those guys inside that locker room.
And you could have the argument to say he's not your best pitcher.
You could.
Because the only pitcher that's an all-star, look behind you, the only pitcher that's an all-star is, the hell is that? Exactly, dude. And somebody says, who's to say that Cole Reagans can stay healthy? I don't know.
And that's the million-dollar question. Nobody knows the answer.
And that's the other thing, too, is like, who's to say that Bobby stays healthy? Who's to say that Mahomes stays healthy? To have that fear in the back of your head is it's it's there because Cole Reagans has been up and down all season. It's been a hamstring, a quad, a shoulder, right, and whatever. But yeah, I mean, that is the thing. That's the gamble you take by letting Seth Lugo go and trying to bring somebody in. Cause there's that cat from Pittsburgh they were talking about that was rumored.
Yeah. I know, but the Pirates aren't trading for Seth Lugo.
They have no reason to.
There's no reason to. Right? And neither do the Angels at this point with Taylor Ward. So you could acquire one of those without giving up Seth Lugo. But the Mets may want Seth Lugo.
And they're going to see Seth Lugo
yeah.
in about 4 days.
He may take the plane home with them. Who knows?
Ooh, I don't know if they're going to see Lugo. Actually, they need to look at those pitching matchups. Because tonight it is Noah Cameron's. The Royals are in action against the Pittsburgh Pirates because, well, we don't get to see Paul Skeens because, as Vern said earlier, people keep saying, you don't need to pitch, man. Take the day. Yeah, Lugo will pitch Tuesday.
That's funny, though, that teams are starting to do that now. Like that,
Third one now.
If that's not the biggest insult that you've ever seen, like, you're not good enough for us to waste our good pitching on you. We're calling a, you know, Joe Blow from Topeka, and he's going to pitch today. Really? Okay.
Vern said, bring it in. That has to be, like, one of the most, like, self-deprecating things you could ever hear.
Oh, yeah.
Likens is up.
Bring it in. Move it, everybody. Move it. You know, like
watch
that.
This.
Yeah. And then you try to plop it over the head. Yeah, okay. It's not good. But no, that's you know, that's interesting that three teams have now done that. And one of them is Pittsburgh.
But that's the thing I'm in fear of is that the one thing that's tricky about the trade deadline is you don't want to be like hyperbolic and like get rid of it too quick. But also other teams are moving. Washington fired their GM and manager.
Yep.
Yesterday.
Cleveland won a World Series.
Hey, man.
That GM and manager.
What are you doing for me now?
Right.
Now, what have you done for me lately?
But in baseball, how much of what you're doing right now is because of you, and how much of that is because that's what your owner told you to do?
You know, like
that's where I was. Like, you fired people who won the World Series for you, which I think they were like 19-36 at one point that year and turned it around and won the World Series, right? You fired those people and said, you're not doing the job the right way. As the owner, can you look at yourself in the mirror and say, I'm giving my guys the resources every day to do the job the right way? The answer to that question in DC has to be no.
Beakley's here. I don't know why. I don't know, man. I just, you know, it's one of those things where Cleveland got a lot of attention yesterday on Twitter. I mean, it was Class A, Ramirez, big names in their organization. They're moving. But again, where you're different than Cleveland missed their window.
Mm-hmm.
They went to the ALCS last year. The Royals went to the ALDS.
Right.
Both teams lost to the same team. Mm-hmm. But again, you look at their roster as opposed to the Royals roster. The Royals roster should be ready to win continuously, right, whereas Cleveland's is, what do we do now? We completely rebuild. And I don't know if you saw the bench coach throwing sunflower seeds on their coach, and then their coach was just absolutely pissed off. Like, not right now. We're not playing good baseball.
Oh, yeah.
No time for grab ass.
Well, maybe he was trying to get that guy to loosen up a little bit. I don't know Stephen Vogt personally. He's the manager, I believe, for the Cleveland Indians, right? Yeah. Is this his second year as manager of that team,
yes,
right? Maybe he needs to loosen. Maybe he's got a little Matheny in him where he's got these guys wired too tight.
Well, we get to be wired too loose as we have 20 minutes left. We'll wrap this show up on the other side and get to our brioche of the weekend on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Well, I don't think that.
Hey, it's Bobby Witt Jr., and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Set your reminders. I've been told by strict orders by Alex Gold just to say this. They have an announcement coming up on their show at 10 o'clock. That's it.
Okay, that's it. All right.
He said,
fine.
If I say anything else, he'll hurt me.
Be a smooth ride, though.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying. So, an announcement coming from Cody and Gold.
Excited.
At 10 o'clock. So, if you're ready for it, just don't change the dial. Just stay here because it's, I don't know if it's.
She's such a smooth ride.
Or Alex Gold's got a real big dinger. It's one of the two.
One of those two.
That's right. Men's wieners.
Yep.
That's right. So Gold, huge. And Cody, huge. And Drew, huge.
Men's
announcements.
Wieners.
Okay. Okay.
Is it going to be as big as you make it out to be?
I hope. So you'll be listening. 61 days until the Kansas City Chiefs will play the Los Angeles Chargers in Sao Paulo, Brazil. Can't wait for that.
24 days until the Hall of Fame game.
Ooh. And you know who's playing in that
game?
No,
I don't.
Really?
Chargers Houston?
and Lions.
Lions,
right?
Yeah, I think
oh,
so.
Oh, yep. They're picking the Lions playing that thing?
I know,
well,
right?
It's because.
Who's going in?
Antonio Gates, Jared Allen, Calvin Johnson. And
so Calvin Johnson is the Lion,
and then Antonio Gates is the Charger, and then Jared Allen's just there for the fun.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, so it's the Chargers against the Lions in the Hall of Fame game,
July 31st.
Wow,
it's almost like 25 days,
24 days away. Yep, 24 days away from that Thursday night game. 3 weeks from Thursday, we'll have our first NFL game. How many pair of pants will Binkley go through?
Is it not? Is it Calvin Johnson?
No, it's not. It, Gates, Jared Allen, Eric Allen, and Sterling Sharp.
So why are the Lions playing?
Because they're fun.
Yeah, because people like them, I guess, now.
But if you're the Lions, you don't need to play in that
do
game.
Do you guys enjoy the Hall of Fame game?
No.
Because I do for 5 minutes.
For the first exactly. 5 minutes.
Because I'm like, here we go. Right. Like, football. It's football. And then after that, I'm
nobody's
like.
Nobody's playing.
It yeah, it's like my sex life. It's good for 4 minutes, and then you're on to the next
long?
One.
Wow.
Yeah. Well,
but no, nobody's.
On a good day.
Nobody plays in that Hall of Fame game because it's the right. Now it's the fourth preseason game for them instead of the fifth preseason game. But if you're a team like the Lions, that's not something you want
to
be involved
most of the time
in.
Starters don't play. But it is Harbaugh. So, like, you never know.
That's
it's
true.
Like, you know,
he could be weird.
Yeah, he could be, like, strange and make his starters play, and then somebody blows a knee on that turf field. Because that's the one that always has the issues, right? The paint was too thick 1 year, and then it rained. I remember being there when the Chiefs played when Hank Stram went in, canceled the game at, like, halftime of that thing. And we're all in a high school locker room.
That was a lightning threat, though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was lightning and rain. Wow. But imagine being in a locker room. Dick Vermeil's pissed off at the world because they had to go to this game, first of all. And then it's lightning, and everybody's packed into this high school locker room. It was awful, and they just canceled the game. Like, preseason football, man, that's where it's at, right there. Totally rendered useless. That's why I'm like, the Lions and Chargers are in this game? Who did they piss off?
I don't know. I just that's kind of like the appetizer for me for football. I'm like, all right, they're lining up on the gridiron. They're doing the national anthem. They got helmets on. They're going to hit another team because St. Joe wears you out.
Oh, right? Big time.
Because you wait for pads to come on. Then they put those on. Somebody tries to fight Travis Kelce that's not going to make the team to try to be noticed. We're going to say this guy is camp ready, you know, and then you finally start seeing people hit each other. And you're like, all right. That's football.
And then that's July 28th, and you're like, okay, call me in September. But you got you got your first couple of plays.
Because we're a month and 2 days from the Chiefs' first preseason game, I believe, against Arizona,
right?
August 9th.
For the preseason game.
August 9th is the first Chiefs preseason game.
That's it?
Oh, my.
Yeah, I know, it's like, coming up.
It is.
It's happening, baby.
Buckle up, buckaroo.
But those are also things like I ain't stopping down my day to consume the third quarter of that game.
I think, like you said, 20 minute, like half hour probably.
Yeah, till the starters are out.
Yeah. Yep. So 10 minutes.
Yeah, listen, starters will go the whole first quarter. No, they won't.
No, they won't.
But nine people will tweet this tweet.
Yes.
Andy Reid says the starters will play in the first quarter.
That's right.
All right.
No, that's 100%. At least nine people will have that tweet.
Oh, can't get it off fast enough.
Yeah. Andy Reid said all starters will play in the first quarter of the preseason game. This year or last year?
There's a good bit.
We could do it with tweets. Oh, we could do it with Chiefs tweets. Now,
100%. This year or last year?
This year or last year with Chiefs tweets.
This weekend or next weekend? Let's get to the brioche of the weekend.
Great brioche idea. Of the weekend.
Big brioche guy.
Love that. Yeah, good take.
I'll tell you what, man. These guys can't miss. How about the All-American Rejects? Not only going to Columbia, Missouri to put on a show. They came out of the damn crowd at a bananas game, dude.
Let's go.
Expanding their demographic a hundredfold.
Seriously.
Right? Getting young college kids into their music, playing for free, having a great time. Savannah Bananas, every parent of those kids is legitimately probably my age. And grew up listening to the All-American Rejects. And now those kids enjoyed it, and they came out for the Savannah Bananas. So, I mean, honestly, the All-American Rejects, they continue to do this. They continue to find ways to stay relevant, exciting, and fun. My brioche of the weekend goes to those All-American Rejects for doing that at the Savannah Bananas game and the attention they bring.
Sidebar on that.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, we had the coach in one time. There's a backstory how we made all that happen. But the guy that I met to kind of make all that happen sends me an email over the weekend. He goes, you're going to want to go to this Savannah Banana Cruise.
Yeah, you should go.
I can't cruise. I get seasick. Oh, so fair. I'm out on that. But, like, no, we'd have to pay for it. This wasn't like, hey, come and join the, you know. The cruises don't do it for me because I do get motion sickness on that. But that sounds like a lot of fun. Like, those are the cool things that the Savannah Bananas are doing that are getting people to fall in love with them constantly. And now they're all going on cruises with these guys. Imagine if the Royals did that. That's like, go cruise with the Royals this offseason.
You want to know what your worst nightmare is? Go to Netflix and watch the documentary called The Poop Cruise.
Sister told me I need to watch that.
I need to watch that.
I'm out on that, though. Yeah.
No, you'll watch it and be like, yeah, this is right here why we are never doing that.
Yeah. I think it pretty much sums itself up in that one. And then the whole COVID thing where everybody got stuck with COVID and everybody's out in boats for months. Man.
Like, I am the captain now.
Yeah, right. Or then you had that Italian ship captain who, like, didn't go down with the ship or what. Like, what a mess cruising has been. But anyway, but you should do that. The Chiefs should do that. The Royals should do that. Charge an arm and a leg. People will go and cruise with the team.
Now, go.
You'd have to send your good people along with you. You couldn't send the 53rd man on the roster like that Darius Fountain. That doesn't count of cruising with the Chiefs or, you know, something of that level. You have to send the Mahomeses and the Kelseys of the world.
Is James Kilgore going to practice?
And that's right. Yeah. Dan Kilgore. Yeah. Mac, what's your brioche of the weekend?
Well, before I get to mine, I just was thinking All-American Rejects are kind of doing what the Savannah Bananas have done. Like, we talk about Savannah Bananas, like, not being too big for your britches, have fun, know what you are. The All-American Rejects are like, you know what? We're just going to go to these garage shows. We're going to go to bowling alleys. We're not going to deal with $250 tickets that, like, we could do all this, but actually we're just going to be cool, play music, and entertain because that's what it's about. Love that.
Where are they going to make more money ultimately? Probably doing it the way they're doing it right now.
Probably, you know? Yeah. And long term, more people are going to know about them. But this 8-year-old Savannah Bananas game is like, whoa, All-American Rejects. That was really fun. Independence Day. I watched it.
There you go.
Based on Missouri Independence. Yeah.
There we go. It was really fun. It was a great movie. Loved it.
It kind of holds up, right? They cause a virus to break down the shield.
For sure. Yeah.
Which is such a smooth ride.
Is that about the NFL?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I thought the CGI was solid or whatever. What was it, 97 or whatever it was? I thought, held up. It was good. Good acting. I think you mentioned it off the air. Goldblum, best character.
Oh, best character.
I didn't think Will Smith was bad like you thought he was bad.
Did not promise you fireworks.
I'm just not a fan of his anymore. After the whole slapping incident, I'm just like, I don't know.
Yeah. You didn't see his new song?
Oh, he does have a new. Oh, yeah. We'll have to bop that tomorrow.
Just let it go, buddy.
But it was good. I don't think I liked it as much as you or maybe some others liked it, but it was really good.
Goldblum's dad's awesome.
Oh, fantastic.
The speech from
teared
the speech
up for sure.
Is awesome.
Oh yeah, that got me going. Goosebumps. That was great.
Like when he blew up the asteroid and Liv Tyler lived happily ever after.
He hadn't seen that.
Oh,
I was like, get ready to cry.
Okay, yeah. And I don't want to miss a thing.
I really liked the guy who would. Who was like a drunk who got attacked by aliens. I thought that was a great story.
It's Dennis Quaid.
Or Randy every Tuesday. Yeah,
hello, boys. I'm back.
I just got beat up by an alien.
Everyone's like, okay.
Russell Edgerton, sir, I once was abducted by aliens. I'd love to meet him again. Literally, his character was true the whole time. Like, has there ever been a character that's been the same person in life? Cousin Eddie? Independence Day, Caddyshack 2. It's the same person in real life that he is. They're like, you're a really good actor, huh?
He's like, wait, what?
Yeah. For the weekend for you?
I'm giving it to South Dakota, actually.
Look at you.
Sioux Falls, South Dakota, man. If you got an opportunity, you're looking for a quick weekend getaway, you just get away for a couple of days, go to Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I had a blast there. Beautiful town, good food.
Temperature
cool
was?
Cool downtown. Mid in the 70s, okay. Low 80s. No humidity. Yeah. That was the big thing. No humidity. I don't know what the winter time is going to be like up there, but it's like 5 hours. If you're looking for a quick road trip, quick weekend getaway, give yourself the opportunity. Don't go, South Dakota. No, go check it out, man.
Kidless, right?
Yes. Yeah. There was a car accident and all kinds of good stuff.
The kids got a car accident?
Oh, my daughter drove into a car, blew her tire, $400 to repair the tire.
You think she's got a job?
That's the thing. She can't have her car back till she pays.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is this back the money?
That's life.
Yeah.
There you go. That's the show.
Everybody's like, that's a great learning experience.
Back, go do something nice. Give her some money for a new tire. I kid. Go do something nice for somebody, though. It could change their day, their week, their month, their year, their summer in general. Stay kind, stay safe, stay groovy. Coming up next, it's Cody Golden Drew. Big announcement from 10 to 2.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.